Look into your Bibles at the to the first to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, and the ninth verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. As I said, my plan is to define first fruit offering. Number two, I want to show you the promises concerning the first fruit offering so we can all know what we can expect. And then I want to show you how God views sacrifice. All right, the definition of the first fruit. The first of the first fruit offering was a sacrificial offering required by God out of the first part of the ripened harvest. That's in the Old Testament. And it was to be brought to the temple as a worship token to God for his goodness and the blessing on the rest of the harvest. It expressed to God one's yielded submission, and it expressed your dependency on God, the creator and the sustainer of all things. This is a practice that was in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament practice establishes the New Testament principle under grace. It is an eternal principle. It was before the law of Moses. It was during the law of Moses. It's in the New Testament. And it's, you can even see it in Revelations, beyond now. So it's an eternal principle. And the order of God is that when I take a prized representation of a group as a sacrifice, as a choice representation, special set aside to honor God and to worship God as the source and the sustainer of my life as a type of first fruit, then God will do supernatural things with the rest of the lump. All right. The Lord just reminded me, although we did a confession, I didn't stand before you and pray about this. I did it in the office. I was thinking while I was talking, God, I just did that in the office. He want me to do it in front of you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your grace, and I acknowledge the Holy Spirit. I receive your grace to speak through my lips and think through my mind. I thank you, Father, that the people are not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which the word of God is spoken. And it's not by my power, not by my might, but it's by your spirit. And I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name for everything that is accomplished. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Praise God. All right. It's a principle that God always honors. The object is a precious, prized, preferred specimen. And the offering is a prayerful, principal presentation of a sacrifice. Now we choose to practice this explosive prosperity principle. And there are references in the Bible, a number of references in the Bible that point to this principle of a call to give. We pointed out recently some of these references about the call to give. People standing and calling for offerings, calling to give. In Exodus, the 34th chapter, in the 23rd verse, you remember he said, thrice in a year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And they were to appear before him with the first fruit offerings. Moses' example is in Exodus, the 35th chapter, and the fourth and the fifth verse. Moses said, and Moses spake unto, the scripture says, and Moses spake unto the children of the congregation of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And you remember Malachi's example in Malachi 3 and 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. And then Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and the 30th verse. that speaks of all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The apostles' example is there in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter in the first verse. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every man. See, we're talking about this principle of the call to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every man, let every one of you lay aside, lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So see, they set it aside. It was special. And then we looked Wednesday night at David's example in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter and the 3rd verse. David, moreover, he said, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of God, I have of mine own proper good of silver and gold, which I have given to the house of the Lord, over and above that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, and gold for the things that are gold, and silver for the things that are silver, for the all manner of work to be made by the hand of the artificer. Then he said, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chiefs of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gishonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. And then Jesus' example, there's Jesus calling for an offering in Mark, the 10th chapter and the 21st verse. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. So there is example after example in the scripture of this principle about a call to offering. And now, public offerings are part of scriptural record, and it's not to be confused with almsgiving. You remember in Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, I'm going to turn there quickly. Matthew, the 6th chapter, that's public offering is a part of scripture record. You just saw that. Not to be confused with almsgiving. You'd be surprised how many saints are not established in this area. The scripture, however, has made it very clear that this is God's plan to trigger and to bring us into quality of life. It's promises connected to seed, faith, free will offerings that connects us to quality of life. And it is our consistent faith commitment that makes the difference. It makes the maximum difference. God connects quality of life promises to these promises that where seed, faith, free will giving is concerned. And so this principle of calling for an offering is documented in scripture. Also, it's not to be confused with almsgiving. There in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the first verse. Take heed that you do not your alms Okay, before men, to be seen of men of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. This word alms means gifts to the poor. And you know that Jesus is not saying don't let people know what you give in public offerings. No, you can now look at this fifth verse. Read. And when thou prayest, that means thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the street. Why? So that they may be seen of men. Now, see, they doing that so that they can be seen of men. And God, Jesus was telling these people the motive behind it. He was teaching on motive. He didn't say don't pray. He wasn't talking about don't pray and don't let anybody hear you praying. No, he was saying don't do it just so that you could be seen of men and let that be your reward. No, but when I give an offering, and then a sacrificial offering, and then I worship God, that's totally different from this. Amen. God uses my offering when as an object lesson to teach others. See, when I give my sacrificial over and above offering, and then I worship God, God will use my offering as an object lesson to teach others. You can see in Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Psalms 107, 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Now, also number two, what happens when I give my sacrificial offering, my sacrificial over and above offering, and then I worship God? Number two, it testifies openly of the goodness of our God. It testifies openly. That's what David was doing. David said, "What I'm giving all this over and above what I had even prepared." He said, "Now what y'all?" And what he said, "Now who would commit to that service?" And everybody gave, and they worshiped God. This is, and then number three, it traumatizes the devil because it demonstrates that the word of God works. Amen. Now, number four, it teaches those who observe an attitude to give that is contagious. Amen. Now, when Jesus gave, it talks of the plan of God in undisputable terms. It talks when you do that. When you are bold, and I determine that I am not ashamed to worship God with my sacrifice because I believe he really is worthy. I believe God is worthy of me openly worshiping him. When Jesus gave his best, he did it where the whole world could see it. And so we give. We give our tithes and offerings, and once a year we do this type of giving where we do public giving, and families come up and give that sacrificial offering, and then we worship God. And according to God, if the first fruit be holy, the rest of the lump is holy. If I make a first fruit, a specimen, a prized, set aside, precious sacrifice, the scripture says, if the first fruit be holy, and I'm the one who can make it holy, he said the rest of the lump is holy. I don't know what people are going through today, but I do know that when you give a sacrificial first fruit, God blesses the rest. God blesses the rest of the lump. Amen. Praise the Lord forever. Now, what can I expect? What can I expect? Because as I said, it's the consistent, steadfast faith commitment that yields the maximum results. If I'm going to look at something, I need to look at what I can expect. Faith is the substance of things that I actually expect. I need to be able to expect something, and I need to focus on what God said, and it'll come to pass. Amen. It's something that God has given us a right to make, to choose what affects our decision making. We can choose independently of God, but we cannot choose the consequences. So God has given us the ability to choose to set change in motion on purpose. And he's given us these principles so that we can live our life on the certainty of spiritual principles. Amen. Our decision is going to be changed by something, going to be influenced by something, either pressure or what we can get away with, or it's going to be influenced by principle. And when you live a principle life, you intentionally control the outcome with God's supernatural principles that He's made available to us. And we can affect the quality of our life. Okay, number one, what is it that I can expect when I give my best first fruit offering? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that today. But I can expect, number one, the flow of abundance with the ability to store up and save. Proverbs 3:9 that we mentioned. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Number two, take away the desire of my enemies to hurt me. Number three, it will expand. I can expect to expand my land holdings. I can expect it to drive out the opposition to my increase. I can expect room to be made for me. We saw from Exodus 34th chapter and the 23rd verse, thrice in a year shall your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up and appear before the Lord thy God thrice a year. Well, where you going to go up and appear? Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. The first, see, that's why they were going up there, the first of the first fruit of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. So I can expect to take away the desire of my enemies to hurt me. He'll expand my land holdings. He'll drive out the opposition to my increase. And he will place his blessing on my household. Say it, my household. Ezekiel 44 and 30 says, and the first, Ezekiel 44, 30 says, and the first of all the first fruit of all things and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations shall be the priests. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. Amen. 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 The scripture says, wherefore, you abound in knowledge, you abound in faith, you abound in utterance. Make sure you abound in this grace also. God wants you to operate in this supernaturally, just like you supernaturally talk in tongues. And the manifestation of the Spirit. He said, wherefore, you're abounding in faith. You're abounding in your love for us. You're abounding in your knowledge. You're abounding in utterance. He said, make sure, he said, see that you abound in this grace also. Amen. So now, number six, he causes supernatural supply in the kingdom of God. We saw that in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. It started at the 38th verse and then all the way to that 44th verse. Supernatural supply came when a man from Belshelashar came and brought the first fruit to Elijah. It caused the supernatural supply. He said, set it before the men. And they said, what? I'm going to set this before 100 men? And he said, set it before them. And he told them that the word of the Lord said they're going to eat and still be some left over. That 30th verse says, and the first, that 44th verse says, so he set it before them and they did eat and left there off according to the word of God. And then number seven, a consecrated blessing on the rest of my increase. Amen. Sister Minister Audrina and I last night, we prayed over ours. We prayed over ours. We like to soak it in the word. When we get a precious sacrificial offering before God, that thing is precious. And we these exceeding great and precious promises, you on purpose set change in motion. And when we held ours up and we prayed before God, oh, faith came and great expectation because God can't lie. Plus, I do it because I love him. Amen. I do it because I love the things of God. That's the greatest motivation. But the greatest activation is me faith, me releasing that faith and hearing myself saying what God said. It causes great, incredible joy. And this scripture says that if the first fruit be holy, see, I make it holy. I take a piece of it. I take a piece of what I have and a sacrifice. I make sure it's a sacrifice because I want to reverence God with it. And I want to worship him as the sustainer. I want to go to him and say, God, you are the reason that I've been sustained. It wasn't me. It was you. And I just want to honor you and reverence you. And I stand there and worship him that you are the reason that I'm still here. You're the reason I didn't go crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. And if the devil would have had his way, I would have died a long time ago. Glory to God. Just look at me, God. I'm still here. Amen. I remember. Somebody say, I remember. I know you remember. See, you can't forget how God brought you out. And then when you get the sacrifice, you make it a sacrifice, something that means something to you. Amen. Something that you wouldn't normally just give unless you're going to respect him and say, God, I want to reverence you, that you're the sustainer of my life. I remember when I was crying. Can't you remember crying? You know, but he wiped the tears from your eyes and you're still here. Amen. I remember when the doctor told you. I remember some of y'all, the doctor told you one thing and you was crying. You were crying. I saw you crying. But look at you now. Hallelujah. See, I saw some of y'all crying because I was your pastor and I walked and I was right there and God showed up, didn't he? Amen. Glory to God. I believe he's worthy. And see, you can't be ashamed and wait for the earth, for the world to validate and to endorse what God has given you to do. Amen. I can't make it by myself. I might as well activate God's power on my behalf. I pray in tongues with his power. I lay hands on people with his power. I receive healing by his power. I might as well activate this with his power. All right. Now, what spiritually, how does God view my sacrifice? I need to know what God thinks about my sacrifice. I can't ask the world because the world just don't understand. I can't ask the world to be happy about this. And the only thing that's going to make my enemies be at peace with me is not me trying to explain. Not me trying to see my life through their eyes. That's where teenagers get in trouble anyway. Trying to see the world through other people's eyes. Trying to see how you stack up by what somebody else think about you. People don't hardly be thinking about you. And you can buy all those $100 tennis shoes and only people and just because you're looking at what somebody else thinks about you. Amen. Amen. Spiritually, what does God think and how does God look at my sacrifice? Number one, though nobody else notices it, it always gets God's attention. It always gets God's attention. Amen. Mark the 12th chapter. Other people might not even notice it. Other people might be judging my sacrifice. But if it's a sacrifice to me, it gets God's attention. It might not even look like much to other people. But it's all relative. I said it's all relative. Did y'all hear me? I said it's all relative. This thing between me and God. But I want it to be something that is a sacrifice because the strength of any covenant depends on the willingness of the partners of that covenant to sacrifice for the terms of the covenant. Mark, the 13th chapter, the 12th chapter, the 41st verse. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. What I'm trying to show you is how God views my sacrifice. I'm trying to tell you it might go unnoticed by man, but it always gets God's attention. Amen. Amen. And many cast, how they cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow. And she threw in two mites which made a far thing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, look at this, she cast in all that she had, even all her living. Wait a minute. Jesus still respected this principle, didn't he? He knew that woman gave everything she had. And he didn't tell them to get that out of that thing and give that back to that woman, because that woman don't have no more money. You know, that's all right, baby. I know. No, God respects this principle. He knows that that was going to be good for her. She wasn't going to, it left her hand that day, but it wasn't going to leave her life. And if it was going to leave her life, Jesus would say, wait a minute. That's all right, baby. Take that out. Come on, get your money back. No, he was happy. He said, look, she gave more than that. She gave everything she had. And he respected the principle. Hallelujah. This is the only real hope that people have. The unchanging word of the living God. That's the only real hope. Administrations is not a real hope. But you have to trust God. But you can do that. I'm so glad that people in the crossroads of my life challenged me to trust God. You know, there's some times that it made the difference in my life. And like I said, I don't really know what people are going through today. But God always sends this word to people who need it. He sends it to the poorest countries. He sends his word because his word is the only real hope that people have in the world. Good jobs is not the real hope. God will send a message of healing to sick folk who are going to die. He'll send a message of operating in these supernatural principles to people who don't have much. And he sends it to people who do have much, so that people who do have much won't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in God and enjoy their riches and increase. He gives it to people who don't have anything to trust in, so that they can trust the certainty of God's word. And he brings them out. God chooses poor people who don't have, who will trust in him. And God chooses rich people who will not trust in what they have and tell them how to enjoy it and trust God for increase. This is the gospel. And God, the Spirit of God, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. People have broken hearts. And he sent me to preach recovery of sight to the blind. I'm sure some of your children have been in this church who had their eyes healed. Do I have a witness? Raise your hand. Amen. Some of y'all who we've seen all kinds of powerful things, and God wants you to operate in this. I've decided I'm going to live a supernatural life. Amen. And I've decided that I'm going to learn to trust God in a way that I don't really know how he's going to bring things to pass. But I really didn't know how he was going to bring me my wife, because I hadn't met my wife when I believed God for her. And when I saw her, I said, that's you. And then I met her, forgot her name 3 times the same day. About a week later, I told her, I'm going to get married to you. And we're going to have our first son named Bruchon Franklin. And she looked at me like I had crawled from under a rock. But I knew that I had believed God for her. And when I saw her, I said, there she is. Amen. Amen. I don't know how God's going to bring things to pass that he said that you can expect. But I do know that when you give sacrificially to God, the first fruit, I do know that he blesses the rest of the lawn. Stand up to your feet. Glory to God. I believe God is ready to show favor. And I believe that people